One Friday night, I found myself sitting on Interstate 35 just south of downtown Dallas. We would creep along. We were at a standstill. And finally, I could see one of those electronic signs up ahead that would give messages. And I was so glad that I was driving my truck that I had at that time. I missed that truck. And the sign said, right two lanes closed ahead. Well, that was just great because I was in the farthest right lane. And then I had one of those aha moments. Sitting beside me in the car, in the truck, was my iPhone, which with the tap of a button, it would tell me exactly what I knew, exactly where I was, but more importantly, it would tell me how to get around this mess. Now, I can find my way around Dallas in a number of places, but not in that one, and I was pretty sure it was going to send me through a neighborhood I certainly didn't want to stop in after dark. And it was dark. What did it do? Yes, it showed me the way around the mess. I knew there was a way. I just didn't know what it was. You see, knowing the way is important. So today, let me tell you about the one who said, I am the way. We find the story, his announcement of himself about being the way in John 14. Jesus is speaking in John 14 at the beginning of what we call the farewell address of Jesus in the Gospel of John, which is from John 14 through at least John 17. And so we start reading at John 14, verse 1. If you need a pew Bible today, you find it on page 698. 698. John 14, let's stand together as we read from God's Word. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let your heart be troubled. Would you let that sink in today? Maybe some of you need that word today more than any other. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you, and you may be seated. Well, we find Jesus making his announcement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, first of all, I am the way. It comes first, and so it receives emphasis. It gets an emphasis. He actually leads us into it, starting at verse 4. In verse 4, he says, and you know the way. And Thomas questions, Lord, how do we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way. He puts an emphasis on it. He is that connection between two points, as the way. Matter of fact, early believers in Jesus, early on, they were called the way because they were following the way of Jesus. Jesus is that link between us and God that connects us together as we follow him and we go through him. I am the way and the truth and the life. If we're going to know the way, it's found in Jesus. But actually, in reality, truth and life are really modifiers in many regards of the first term. His first term, I am the way, and it's the way I lead you to the truth, and I lead you to life. The truth that he leads us to is the saving truth. Saving truth. One of the great lessons I think all of us probably learned who have either read or done the workbook Experiencing God is that great reminder. Maybe you didn't know it, maybe you knew it, but had never heard it in these words. Truth is a person and His name is Jesus. His truth leads us to Himself and that saving relationship that is there, that dependability that we can have on Him, that reliability that He is, that we are reliable upon Him because He's always true and He is the truth. As the way, He is the truth, and it's the true way that we go with Him. But He also says, I am the life. He is the source of life, which is more than just physical existence. It's more than just breathing and your heart beating and your mind thinking and all of those kinds of things. It's more than just physical life. There's a quality of life. Jesus says, I give you life to the full. I give you abundant life, Jesus says in another place. Jesus is here for the abundance and to give you abundant life, full life. He also gives us quantity of life. He gives us eternal life. Eternal life that's found only in a relationship with Him. And you can't get more than eternal. And if you're lucky, you're just not going to get any more than that. And He says, so I am. And His I am is emphatic. I am, Jesus says. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And He says these things to us. So if you're looking for a way and wondering what way you go, you find it in Jesus. You find it in Jesus. But hear this. You do not have to have troubled hearts. Well, circumstances in life bring troubled hearts, don't they? I imagine we could stop if we had the time today. And some of you have already looked at the clock and go, "Ooh, preacher, you're running on short time. Just hang on. Put your seatbelt on. We'll get you there in just a few minutes." But if we allowed everyone to share a word today, you could tell us something about a troubled heart. And some of you have troubled hearts today. We encounter them in life. John 13 lays out some emphasis, some examples of troubled heart. In John 13, verse 21, one of them is a traitor. Verse 33, he told them he would be leaving them. That causes trouble for them. And they could not go with him. They could not go with him, so it causes trouble for them. And then he told Peter that he would deny him. All of that in John 13, and then in John 14, at the beginning, Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. We have circumstances of life that trouble our hearts. It could be health matters that trouble our hearts, that trouble our lives. It could be financial concerns that give us trouble. Jobs. Frustration at work. Lack of work. Underemployed. Overemployed. Most people don't find themselves in that one. But all of those types of things. The price of gas and groceries. I love how the price of gas fluctuates between $3.45 and $3.55. I'd like it a lot better if it fluctuate between $3.45 and $1.45. But, well, it's the way it goes. My diesel car is returning soon, at $4 a gallon. I'm not sure I want it back as much as I will drive it. Anyway, or somebody else will drive it. Anyway, those kinds of things. Those things give us trouble. The stuff that's going on in the world. Man, the girls that have been taken captive, the Taliban in Afghanistan, who knows what's happening in North Korea, other than they have imprisoned another person, another missionary from South Korea, assigned them to a life of hard labor. Russia and Ukraine, all of those kinds of things. That may not trouble your heart, but some of the other things may trouble your heart. Family struggles of all kinds. Broken relationships, fractured relationships, all kinds of things. that can give us troubled hearts. But Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. Well, you're going, Pastor, you just rolled off this list of things. I've got more than one of them. What do you mean my heart's not supposed to be troubled? Well, here's the antidote to a troubled heart. Belief in Jesus. Belief in Jesus. Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and Jesus would tell you the same thing. That doesn't mean your troubles are all going to go away in the twinkling of an eye, that they'll just escape, that they'll be gone, and that your heart will be light and not burdened any longer. But it does mean that Jesus will show you the way through it. Doesn't mean all your troubles will be gone, but it does mean that Jesus walks with you. That Jesus will hold your hand and guide you through the troubles and the difficulty and the challenges, that Jesus is there to guide you through if you believe in Him. It is that personal relational trust in Jesus. Belief means that you're going to believe in Jesus. You're not just going to believe that Jesus existed and roamed the dirt of Palestine at one time. No, you're not going to believe just that He was here and was a part of history, but that Jesus is real, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, that you will believe in Him. Jesus says, your heart can be troubled if you don't have me, but with me, your heart doesn't have to trouble. Doesn't mean all of your circumstances are going to change. It doesn't mean all of your troubles are going to go away, but you have Jesus. But you know what? It also demands some ongoing work of the heart. Many of you, I look around the room, you've believed in Jesus and you've trusted in Jesus for a long, long time. But there's this continual ongoing work of our heart that prepares us so that we are ready to follow Jesus on a daily basis. Proverbs 4:23 tells us, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. We have to watch over our heart. We have to guard it. We have to protect it. We have to nurture it. Proverbs 3:1 says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Keeping watch over your heart is important. Is your heart focused in on Jesus? Is your heart committed to Jesus? The Word of God helps us to do that. Jesus, the one who says, I am the way, shows you His way through His Word. And Jesus will never ask you to do anything contradictory to His Word, but yet we've got to know His Word. And as we know His Word, we know what to do. We know how we are living, and so we obey Him because His Word gives life to us and leads us to the full life that He has for us. That, and Jesus' definition of a full life is not our world's definition of a full life. You know, our world's definition of a full life is that your bank account's going to be large, your house will be large, your car will be expensive. But that's not a full life. Some of those people are miserable. Jesus says, I have life. Jesus' full life is that you're walking with Him. That you're experiencing life with Him. And that you're enjoying the journey with Jesus. And even in the midst of the crisis, in the midst of the troubles, Jesus is with you and life is full and abundant. That despite any difficulties or challenges, no matter, your focus is on Jesus and Jesus leads you to a full life. But it's a full life because you have life with Jesus and you're obedient to what He wants you to do and you're following in His way. And it leads to a full life. Here's some good news. There's plenty of room for everyone. There's plenty of room for everyone. For everyone who will believe, there's room. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Now, the old translations would say mansions, and we all like that term because we all think, whew, I'll finally get to live in one, some mansion. One day I was taking a group of senior adults and we were driving by some big houses, nice houses. And a couple of ladies sitting right behind me were talking about those big pretty houses. And one lady said, you know, I don't know that I'd want to have to live in one of those. I don't think I'd want to clean it. I said, you know, if you lived in one of those, you probably could have somebody else clean it for you. Ooh, preacher, I hadn't thought of that. That might be true. Somebody said one day, I don't know about having too big a house in heaven. I don't want to have to clean it while I'm there. I don't think we'll have to do that. But there's plenty of room. Actually, dwelling places or room is better than mansion. Mansion creates all these wonderful images for us. Here's the image that's probably more accurate. In the Jewish custom, when a man would ask a woman to be his wife, he's going to be his bride, and they're engaged, they cannot get married until he has prepared a place for her. And his place that he prepares for her is typically, to begin with, an extra room onto dad's house. And he begins preparing a place for his bride. And when his father says it's sufficient, then they can have the wedding and they can get married. That's probably the imagery we need to see here. Is that Jesus is preparing a place for you, and when the Father says, it's good, it's ready. There's plenty of room for everyone, though. Jesus is capable of building rooms for everyone. Do you think it's a coincidence that he talks about this image of having plenty of rooms and that his earthly trade was a carpenter? No, I don't think so at all. He says there's plenty of room, and then he says this, I'll be back to get you. I'll be back to get you. Oh, aren't those pleasant words? Aren't those reassuring words? Probably most of us in this room cannot remember when we were little bitty kids and mom and dad would leave us somewhere and they would assure us, I'll be back to get you. Because when we really needed that assurance, our brains don't go back that far. We just can't remember those, but we've watched it happen over and over and over that children settle down when there's that assurance of mom and dad say, I will be back to get you. And they know it because they've seen it happen time and time and time and time and time. Again, Jesus is assuring us, I will come back. Remember, he is the truth and he speaks the truth. Guess what? He's not sending somebody else to do his job. He'll be back. He's coming. He is returning. I don't know when, but he's coming. Which always begs the question, are you ready when he does? And then he says that he is the only way. Now, here's the place a lot of people really get mad at us who follow Jesus. When we start saying Jesus is the only way to heaven. When Jesus is it. But it comes from the mouth of Jesus. Jesus says, I'm it. He is the one. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There are a lot of people say, well, we're just being exclusivistic and arrogant and uncaring. Actually, we're being loving because we're telling people, you can't find it somewhere else. There is a way, but it's one way. And it's Jesus and Jesus only. It's the truth, even if we don't like it. Jesus is saying to us, I am the way to the Father. I'm the way. There is no other way. So when we come to Jesus, it's it. We We can't let people believe we must that there's multiple ways. We must speak the truth that there is one way. Jesus is the only way. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and that those who believe in Jesus will know the way. It takes belief in Him. If you've not yet trusted in Jesus Christ, let me tell you this today. Jesus is the way. And He's the only one. Jesus is the way. And He says that you have to believe in Him. And He says you don't have to have a troubled heart. Doesn't say He'll take all your troubles away. But He says you don't have to have a troubled heart if you'll believe in Him. That's the response. To believe in Jesus. Not for all of your troubles to go away. Not for everything in your life to be fixed and perfect. This is just not going to happen. But He says, believe in the Father and believe in Me. Is that where you are today? If you've never believed in Jesus, would you do that? Many of you have believed in Jesus. And you're dealing with things that cause your heart some trouble. It's a reminder to trust Jesus with those things. He is the way. No matter what you face, no matter what you're enduring, some of you enduring things that others know about, some of you enduring some private struggles nobody else really knows about, but it's a trouble in your heart. Jesus says, I'm it. Come to Me. I'll show you the way. He's true. He's truthful. I am the way and the truth and the life. And He gives you life. But you have to believe in Him. You have to trust Him to lead you through. Would you do that today?